Philippines. So we realized that the theme for Philippines is a joyful mind. Of course, we realize that when we study the Bible, it's actually quite good to have a focus, because only when you have a focus, then when you look into the Bible, you can get something from it, right? So, for example, you could read Philippians and then ask the question, how to be a servant? Isn't it true? Yeah? You can basically read through any book in the Bible and get verses or phrases from your reading that answers this question. So you just jot down the points that answer this question. Do you know why sometimes when you read the Bible, you'll get something from it? Yeah. For example, you say, oh, when I read this verse, I was comforted. Oh, when I was reading this verse, I was reminded. Right? Why? Because at that particular point, your heart needed something, and you went subconsciously looking for it. Do you get what I mean? Now, if you imagine this, rather than subconsciously looking for something, you conscientiously look for something in the Bible. And that is with the focus. When your mind is focused, and when you read the Bible, you will be able to find what you're looking for. Isn't it true? Just like when you're studying, if you know there's an assignment and there's a particular topic and then there's a particular subject you need to look into, a few of books, but it's about a particular point, you're not going to go through the whole book, you're going to skim through it to find it. Isn't it true? Right? So one easy way to read the Bible is to have a focus. So, yeah? So, for example, you want to draw nearer to God, okay? Then when you're reading the Bible, you're reading through the Bible. When you're doing that, you're doing two things. One, you're learning what you're reading from the Bible the first time, okay? Meaning that, oh, I never knew this existed. I never knew this existed. So that is a bonus. You get what I mean? But the real work that you're going after is this. No, I have a spiritual need. I want to learn how to control my temper. I want to increase in my heart to pray, right? So I'm going to conscientiously read through the Bible, read through the Gospels, or read through Paul's letters, or read through Psalms, and I'm going to get from it. Because God is going to teach me that. You get what I mean? It's the problem why we might find the Bible maybe not so enjoyable to read, because we can't relate to it. But if you think, do I have a need? What is the need that I have? And then when you go into the Bible, you're prayerfully asking God to lead you through His Word. And that's exactly what God does. Okay? So I hope that you will bear this in mind in how to study the Bible. Have a focus. Rather than have subconscious need, put your subconscious and then say, no, I do really need this. Go and get it. Yes? And that is how, in my faith journey, that is how I began to study the Bible. And actually, I had lots and lots of teachings because I went out looking for it. Right? Is that clear? Right? So basically, in Philippians, we're going to ask the question, things related to a joyful mind. Right? So let's go to chapter 1. Yesterday, we already talked about Philippians chapter 1. Verse 1 to 9. So the question for this particular paragraph would be, yeah, why was it that Paul could see God working? Yeah? Why could see Paul God working in the Philippians? Okay? Yeah? Well, it's all to do with the time in Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 11, where there was the Macedonian call. Yeah, the Macedonian call, remember? Yeah? When Paul was at a place called Troas, and then in the night he saw a vision. A man from Macedonia said, "Come and help us, please, come and help us," right? And then he understood that the vision was from God, calling him to go and help Macedonians who needed salvation. Now, during that trip, he went to people like who? Lydia, and also what? The jailer's family, okay? And so they were saved. And we can also see from other Bible verses in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4, that Paul was willing to go wherever the Spirit sent him. Also, in Acts chapter 9, we mustn't forget that Jesus sent him and says, yeah, "For you must suffer many things for my name's sake." So that means that Paul was willing to suffer for the Lord. And in other verses, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, 17, I beg your pardon, yeah, it shows that Paul was touched by the love of God. So there was nothing that Paul was not going to do, places that Paul was not willing to go. He was willing to do and go wherever Jesus wanted him to go. Okay? And also, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Basically, that verse... No, chapter 30, verse 13. Basically, that verse tells us that Paul was willing to speak whatever he believed according to the one true faith that he had received from God. Right? So when you go through these couple of Bible verses, you realize, why was it that Paul had the opportunity to see God working? Because he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. He was not afraid to suffer anything. Right? So when you link all these verses together, you will think to yourself, okay, yeah, am I willing to be sent by the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to suffer? Or do I just prefer my own comforts? Am I afraid? Or I should be courageous for Jesus, right? So basically, when I have received the truth, and this is what I believe in, if I say something, tell people about it, then if we are doing all these things for the sake of the love of Jesus, willingly do so, will we not see God working in our lives? We will, isn't it true? Right? And some of you have tasted, you know, going out leafleting, door to door, right, street preaching, etc., right? Now, if you multiply that, will you not one day see God working? Yeah? You will, isn't it? If you keep plowing on, understanding what you're doing is according to God's will, sooner or later you will be able to see someone and also be touched by God. You will see it. You get what I mean? Is that clear? Yeah? So if you want to have a joyful mind, be like Paul and learn from him. Okay? Do you understand what I did there just now? Yes? I had a focus and our minds went looking out for the material. I reminded myself what happened in the book of Acts, how Paul came to know the Philippians, how he was sent there by the Holy Spirit, how right from the beginning as a disciple he was willing to suffer, And also, how he felt the love of Jesus, so that means he was willing. And also, he believed. That is why he spoke. Because what he believed is the truth, and he spoke. He just spoke, and then stood back and watched God work. You get what I mean? Yeah? It's like, plant the seed, and wait for God to let it grow. Do you get what I mean? Now, if you're willing to do that, then you also will have a joyful mind. You could be like Paul, also see God working. Isn't it true? Yeah? You got to sow the seed. Then you will have a joyful mind to see that, right? Of course, preachers would also share with you one of the many experiences going to Africa, like when you're on the bus, right? It's quite funny as well. Have I told you this one before? I'll say it again anyway. I'm sure the team leaders have heard it before. It's like when you're sitting on the bus, right? And it's quite funny. And then I don't know why, maybe it was my personality or whatever. But I sat in the bus and there's these crammed buses, right? Four people on two-seater rows kind of thing. And then and then I was talking to someone, right? I don't know what came over me. I began to shout the doctrines as I was preaching. So the person right at the other side of the bus, right, I was sitting on the other side of the bus, he heard about it and asked my co-worker. I said, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? Oh, he's talking about Sabbath. So he was interested. So when he got off the bus, he asked one of our members, our workers, for the information. You get what I mean? Yeah? So if you're willing to do something, when you're preaching to this person, suddenly you're preaching to the whole bus. Right? And you never thought that the word of God could touch another person. You never know. Yeah? So isn't that God working? Yes, it is God working. If you're willing to do and say what needs to be said and done, and places to go, then you will have a joyful mind. Is that clear? Yeah? What's holding you back, brothers and sisters? What's holding you back from having a joyful mind? Yeah? Don't let yourself hold you back. Okay? Okay, let's go to the second one. Now, how did Paul observe that God was working in the Philippians? Right? Now, this is another way of Bible studying, because once you found the answer to one question, then you want to go in depth and keep questioning. How did Paul observe that God was working in the Philippians? Well, for some of you, you probably say, oh, because they received the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Do you know what I mean? That's a very good, easy answer, isn't it true? Or, just like what I said yesterday, oh, they believed in the word of God. That is why we know God was working in them. Yeah? Because we said in John, when a person starts in the Gospel according to John, when a person believes in Jesus, then that is the work of God. Isn't it true? Right? But what else was it that Paul observed that God was working in the Philippians? So you've got to go in and find out. Yeah? You've got to go in and find them. Okay, so let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And what does that say? Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, what does that say? Let's read together. 28 to verse 30. 1, 2, 3, go. So from these verses, is it fair to say that the Philippians also suffered for their faith? Yes? Yeah? Did the Philippians suffer for their faith? Rebecca? Yeah? Can you see that? which words tell you that proves that this point is true, that they did suffer?
Verse
28. Yes. Verse 28, but which words? Oh, is there no problem?
Yeah, they were terrified by your appearance.
Right, so which words tell us that they were facing some conflict, some challenges to their faith? No, which words in verse 28?
Yeah.
You're highlighting verse 28. Which words in verse 28? You mentioned what? Your adversaries, right? So because adversaries existed, right? Adversary is what? A person or people, group of people who is against you. Yeah? Who is against you. That is an adversary, right? So that means that because they believe in Jesus, they did suffer. They did start to suffer. Okay? Yeah? But not only that, we realize that Paul himself also suffered, isn't it? Because in Acts chapter 16, verse 37, it talks about that he was dragged and put in the jailer, and put into jail. That's why he, you know, whatever, right? He was ill-treated. And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, right? Just write these verses down because we've got time to turn to every single verse. That's what I want you to do in your free time. Is that Paul himself suffered in the sight of the Philippians. The Philippians themselves also suffered. So that is why Paul could see that God was working in the Philippians. Because while the Philippians believed in the gospel, they were prepared to do what? To suffer for the gospel. And that is how we see whether we are working, God is working in us, or whether God is working in other people. This is how we can see, isn't it true? Yeah? So can we recall in history whereby people who were suffering and actually God was with them? Anybody? Well, if we look at Israelites, right? They were suffering. And then God appeared in the what? The burning bush, isn't it? That symbolized that God was with them. The fire was burning the bush, but the bush did not what? Was not destroyed, isn't it? The people were suffering, but the people did not only grew smaller and smaller, they grew stronger and stronger, mightier and mightier in numbers. So therefore today, if we are willing to suffer, then we can see that God is working in us. Isn't it true? Yeah? Gradually, as brothers and sisters waiting, willing to take on more challenges, yeah, are they not learning to suffer? Yes, they are, isn't it? And I really thank God for some of the youth, willing not only just to go to Africa and stuff, but in their local church, to really drive things forward and really progress the church works, that they are ending up suffering for God, right? Not only are they not, you know, shying away from the challenge, they're willing to take it on, and it doesn't matter what happens, they will try their best, and that is a very joyful thing to see, isn't it true? Yeah? Now, if you are willing to suffer for the faith, then that is your beginning, that is your doorway into knowing that truly God is with you. When you have the heart to suffer, to do no matter what it takes, then you know God is working in you. Is that clear? Yeah? Can you see how I got there? Yeah? So through questioning, you're seeking for the answers. Once you've got the answers, you stand back and say, well, what does that mean to me? And then you apply it to yourself. And then when you apply it to yourself, you apply it to other people. And then it says, that is where it comes from. Do you get what I mean? It's joining all the dots together, asking God for wisdom over it. It's not human effort, right? Only. Yeah? You're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you so that you come to these nice points to edify ourselves. Is that okay? Yeah? So I'm introducing to you how to study the Bible is through question and answer and seeking the answers from within the text, and also open your mind to other texts in the Bible that is related. Okay? So let's go to another point. So from chapter 1, to verse 10, we also can raise another question. Why? Because it says, why was Paul's hope for Philippians so certain? That God's work would continue and also increase. Isn't it true? So when you stand back after reading the text over and over and over, you'll be able to say, hang on, this is curious, isn't it? Why would Paul could be certain that these Philippians, when he preached the gospel, that they would continue, right? Do you know when you go to convos, right, and you meet brothers and sisters, there are some people you know they will continue in their faith, and there are some people you know they are going to be a bit iffy in their faith. Isn't it true? Yeah? So now you think about it, why is it that Paul was so certain that when he preached the gospel to the Philippians, that the Philippians, he see God working, why was he so certain that God will continue to work in them? Yeah? Why? Where did you get all this from? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Because did God reveal to him, oh, the Philippians are going to be a fantastic church? Right? Yeah? Did he have a sense and a sixth instinct or something for knowledge and that's what's going to happen? Where did it all come from? Okay, first of all, now we find the answers, isn't it? First of all, we can see that the believers had love. Let's turn to Philippians, right? Philippians chapter 9. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9, sorry. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. Let's read verse 9. Now, this is how to study the Bible. You need to look at it, take every word into account, right, Kieran? Can you look at that verse 9? And please read. Okay. Oh, your voice is not quite there. Right. Jerry, right. Can you tell me, in order for the love to abound more and more and more and increase, right? How can love abound more and more? In order for faith to go, whoa, right? What needs to be there in the first place? You need to have love, isn't it? You need to have faith in the first place, isn't it true? Do you get what I mean? So the reason why Paul was certain that God will work and continue in them is because they already had love, isn't it? Yeah? And this is something I only picked up this time round when I was reading it. I pray that your love may abound still more and more, right? So that means they had love. Mm-hmm. They had knowledge. Yeah, but that was one level. So they had a genuine faith and they had a genuine love. They were genuine. So because they knew they were genuine, Paul knew that God was working in them and God will continue to work in them. Okay? Now, why else did Paul know that God was working in them and started and will continue and abound? Right? Because if they continue to pray for more wisdom, I'm willing to discern Not only will they be able to love as they are now, but they can see many other things to do to love even more. Isn't that true? So it must have been that when Paul preached the gospel to them, he must have told them the most important thing is to love God and to love man. Yes? You need to love as much as possible because love is the fulfillment of the law. Do you get what I mean? Right? So Paul prays for them that they will have wisdom and discernment as long as they're willing to get to know, well, how else can I love? Right? As long as they're thinking, how else can I show love? As long as they have that kind of heart, right, then they will increase in love. And when they increase in love, it's actually God working in them. Isn't it true? Yeah? So, let's look at the third one. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Because they had the heart to glorify and praise God. That is why he knows that God will continue to work in them. Because they do have such a heart to glorify and praise God. The elements are there already. So today, in order for us to be certain that God will continue to work in us, first of all, you need to ask yourself this question: do you have love for God? Right? You do, isn't it? Because otherwise, why are you here? Yeah? Maybe you say, oh, my love is so small. It's okay. As long as you have a starting point of true, genuine love for God. Yeah? I'm not talking about your spirituality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you have love for God, right? If you do, then you have a chance to increase and for God to continue to work in you and increase, right? The love is from who? It's from Jesus, isn't it true? Yeah? It is because he loves you, that is why you love him back. Right? As long as that love is there, that's the one talent. That's the one talent. That is the first seed that you need to have. As long as you have that heart, then you're ready to increase and abound. Okay? Secondly, wisdom and discernment, right? And then I was thinking, no, hang on, when I go back to what I've written down, I'm thinking about myself, well, how can a person increase in wisdom and discernment? Well, obviously, wisdom is attached to the concept of fear of God, isn't it true? As long as you fear God, you will continue to serve God, to do righteously, to show love. Okay, that's no problem. But wisdom also asks us to make a discernment, yeah, what is right, what is better, and think about what others are doing. Isn't it true? Well, we can understand this when we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Joshua, can you read verse 8, please?
Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whenever things are true, whenever things are noble, whenever things are just, whenever things are pure, whenever things are lovely, whenever things are good or good, there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Verse 9.
The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of
peace will be with you. Isn't it true? So basically, the reason why Paul could see that God was working and that God would continue to work in them, because the believers had the heart to learn from Paul. Before Paul preached the gospel to them, did they know how to be a Christian? No. Only after Paul preached to them and showed them how to be a Christian, did they know how. It was because after they learned from the example and from the teaching that they knew how to show love. Isn't it true? Yeah? So basically today, if we want to increase and ask God to continue to work in us, you need to think about what you're doing. how you can do it better, and also look at other people. Isn't it true? Yeah? Do you know when you go to other churches, right? You go to other churches. There was one particular sister. She went to other churches because of Congo, right? And they said, wow, every church give their best door to the guests that come, you know? So every convo, wow, all the beds laid out very nicely, wow, very clean, wow, very nice. Wow, the hospitality, all the beds, do you know what I mean? Yeah? So then she said, this is what we should do in our church. Do you get what I mean? She had love already, but when she looked at how other people do things, she said, no, that is a good mentality. This is what we should do. Isn't that increase in love? Do you get what I mean? So today, if you feel that your love is not enough, then why don't you look around? If you look around, that is testing your heart whether you really want to obey God's will more, right? Yeah? Okay. So I'll give you, this is what I shared in CYC. A granddaughter and a grandfather sitting in the same table having rice. Okay? There was one piece of meat left there. Okay? So at one time, the grandfather and the granddaughter, both at the same time, the chopstick, shoo-doing, right? In for the same piece of meat. Do you get what I mean? And then both were a little bit awkward and both recoiled and took away their chopsticks. And then the granddaughter took the meat, and what did she do with it? She put it in the grandfather's bowl. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Isn't that called discernment? Isn't it true? Now, an ordinary kid, well, oh, you don't take it? Okay, thank you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? And it takes discernment to think, no, this I give to grandfather. Isn't it true? Do you get what I mean? So therefore, if you want to increase in love, then you need to think about discernment, right? Thirdly, do you want to glorify and praise God? If you want to glorify and praise God, then you can increase, right? Whatever you're doing, is it for God? Now, the thing is this, right? I don't know if you are aware of this. I think this is worth mentioning, okay? And I hope everyone in this room will be able to take it into your mind, right? Do you know when we think about glorify God or praise God, right? So you think about, okay, if someone is there to clap, is there someone there to observe, then God will be glorified. Isn't it true? Do you know what I mean? So if you have a choir presentation, wow, everyone say hallelujah, praise God. Isn't that true? It's good, isn't it? If you deliver a good sermon, God is glorified and praised. If people are edified, do you know what I mean? How about those things which people do not see? How about those things that people are not aware? Do you get what I mean? Will God not be glorified and praised? Yes, he will. Do you get what I mean? So what I'm trying to explain to you is this. Don't get it mixed up. For God to be glorified and praised, someone needs to be there to observe it, to testify what we have done. Do you get what I mean? Someone's got to know. Yeah? Not necessarily. Do you get what I mean? Not necessarily. Because whatever we do, God will know, obviously, right? But who else will see? This is something we never think about, isn't it? Who else will see? If we repent, for example, who else will see? Who else will see? Come on, second years, don't disappoint me. I spent 25 hours? Yes. Doing Luke. Come on. I don't want to spend this time talking about Luke. Come on. The lost. Three lost, right? Three lost, isn't it? Let's turn back to Luke chapter 15. Okay, maybe I didn't teach very well. That's why you forget. Just blame myself, I'll be happy. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, verse 10. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over what? One sinner who repents, isn't it? Isn't it true? Do you get what I mean? Now, if a sinner knows how to repent and there's joy in heaven, then how much more when we do the works of God? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? You need to be aware. It's not just the human level awareness. There is the spiritual realm awareness that when we are doing something in God's will, the angels of heaven is glorifying God. Wow, this is your child, I imagine, okay? This is the child of God, hallelujah, right? Praising God. God's salvation has come upon this person, and they have shown a great gratitude and thankfulness to our great God. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? And that's the way we should be thinking. If we do that, then there are things that we will do, and we don't have to look for people noticing and wanting to have to take the credit. Do you get what I mean? Then you will find it that when you don't take the credit, you can actually do more. When you're thinking as that, it's not the credit where people are aware, you're not motivated by that, then you can do loads more, isn't it true? Yeah? Can you see that? Yeah? So actually, this is a very good way of studying the Bible, and this is something I want to help you to explore, and also for you to use in your own Bible study. Yeah? Is that okay? Can people relate to what I'm trying to do? Yeah? So the whole thing what I'm trying to do is, if you have a need, create a need even. Create a need. Have a curiosity. And say, okay, how about this? Let's focus on this. And let's go back into the text, what it tells me. Yeah? Okay. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Okay, so we realize verse 3 to verse 11, yeah? We can see that it is Paul giving thanks, really happy with the church, and see that the members that God was working in them, right? And that Paul could see that God will work with them, and he continues to pray for them that they will do so. Is that all right? Yeah? So basically, I've entitled verse 3 to 11, How to Have a Joyful Mind, See God Working. Is that true? Do you know what I mean? I've captured that, and so that is okay. So how to see God working? Be willing to do everything. Yeah? Etc., etc. I'm not going to go through all the same material. Okay, let's go to chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. To have a joyful mind. How to have a joyful mind? Yeah. How to have a joyful mind? Yeah. Overlook intention and see the result. Yeah. That's how to have a joyful mind, isn't it? Now, how do we understand this? Well, from verse 12 to 18, Paul was talking about there were two groups of people. First of all, he says that I was suffering for Jesus. And actually, when I was suffering for Jesus, everyone could tell that my suffering was for Jesus, even the whole palace guard and the brethren. Do you get what I mean? And then he saw that when he suffered, other people were encouraged. Verse 14. There were people who might have been afraid or who were bold, but after they saw me in chains, they became more confident. They became more bold to speak the word without fear. You get what I mean? Now, if we look at verse 15, oh dear, there were other people that was preaching, hoping to hurt Paul. Obviously, most of us would be very disturbed by these people, isn't it? Is that true? Right? Because they were hypocrites. Do you agree with me? Yeah? Even though they were hypocrites, why was it that Paul was not disturbed or discouraged? Because he overlooked the horrible intention, yeah? And looked at the result. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? Usually, we always think about people's intention and we're trapped in the intention, how we feel towards that person because they feel that towards us. You get what I mean? Yeah? Now, the problem is this, right? The problem is this. Sometimes we are guessing the intention wrongly. Do you get what I mean? Right? So, for example, our parents, okay? Our parents, right? This is what I told CYC this year, so I'll repeat it. James, you can close your ears. Okay, yeah? Your parents tell us to take out the garbage or the rubbish, okay? You say, no. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? So What's the point? Do you get what I mean? Actually, when our parents tell us to take out the garbage and rubbish, right? Or clean the toilets, what are they actually doing? Yeah? You think that their intention is just use you, tell you to do stuff, isn't it true? But actually, deep down, they are training you up. Isn't it true? Think about it. You start to take up the rubbish now without any complaints. You start cleaning the toilets and do your part without complaints. After you get married, you're going to be taking the rubbish until the day you die. Isn't it? Yeah? You're going to clean the toilets until the day you die, unless you're rich and get a servant. Right? Do you get what I mean? Do you understand? Yes? Actually, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Now, Paul, truly, there was an evil intention, isn't it true? Yes? But life is very few evil intention, isn't it true? Especially within our family. No evil intention. There must be good intention in it. It's just that we may not like it. Isn't it true? You understand? Now, when you extract there is good intention in it, even though it appears not so right, then you'll be able to see the result. Isn't it true? Yeah? It's really true. I already said this to you before. Oh, there's a brother. Wow, he humiliated me in front of everyone during Bible study. Not just one, though. Quite a number of Bible studies, even the other people were a bit disturbed. Why is he behaving like that towards a preacher? You get what I mean? Yeah? Of course, I didn't feel comfortable, isn't it true? But then I realized that actually, I learned that when people are like that, yeah, I have this limited love to them. Do you know what I mean? So basically, I realized how people are towards me limits my love towards them. And I thought, wow, I'm so eager. Yeah? Why so short breath? Do you know what I mean? Yeah? So then I realized that actually I should increase. Isn't it true? So even though his intention, I can't judge him for evil, but it made me feel not really nice. Do you know what I mean? But from that, I could actually later on see the result. What is the use of what I went through? Yeah? Of course I may see, oh, this person inflicted this upon me. I didn't ask for this. But actually, if you think about it another way, it's actually good for me. It identifies a weakness in me that I need to concentrate on so that I can improve. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So if you have a joyful mind, you will look at things from different perspective. Think about the issue of intention, but actually think about the long-term result as a result of it. Isn't it true? I think that's a mind opener, don't you think? Yeah? usually we just react to the superficial intention that people seem to have. Yeah? Just for example, this morning, if you were listening in the morning prayer, right? Our sister Diana, what did she say? Yeah? Sometimes in the soil there are wiggly worms. It's a horrible description, by the way, but it's true. It's like, oh, I hate worms, man. Don't talk about worms, man. We talk about worms. And it says those worms is like what? It's like criticism, isn't it? Yeah? It helps the soil. Isn't it true? Yeah? Okay? And I thought, if someone criticizes you, it's actually to double check whether your servant God is out of right motive or not. I thought that was a good point. Do you think it was a good point? I thought it was a really good point. Can you see that now? Yeah? Can you see that how reflecting through the word of God you'll be able to gain a lot? Mm-hmm. Okay. So from Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 18, we realize how to have a joyful mind, overlook intention, and see the result. Okay? Let's look at nothing because we're going to have a break. Let's have a silent prayer. Amen. Oh, by the way, the assignments I've got back, right? The assignments I've